Right, well, welcome everybody. This is, as you know, the third of our seminars in this series. One more to go. Okay, now it is my great pleasure to introduce our speakers. Now, academic speakers, you can go online and you find masses of stuff about everything they've been doing for the past 20 odd years because they have to publicise that for promotions and things. You look at these people, and there's a term, digital legacy, you know, all your online stuff, where does it go? These people have virtually no digital legacy that I can find. You've got very little information, except that, now let's see, we have Hayden and Kylie Cotton, husband and wife. Hayden, a funeral director and owner, and you're also a director of Robert J. Cotton and Sons Limited.
Robert J. Cotton Funeral Directors.
Funeral Directors, established 1967, so they have a fair idea what they do now. Was it established by your grandfather, was it?
Yes.
Okay, and you joined the family business, it's almost like this is your life.
You've got to do all that?
I don't have to say any of that. Okay, I will... You're giving me nothing to do here, okay? No, that's absolutely fine. So I'll leave it to the two of you, and all yours.
Thank you very much.
I'm not going to sing, but the idea of this whole series is to think in advance of what's going to happen. Now, I've got just an anecdote to tell you. There's an old friend and former colleague of mine, a few months ago, came up to me and said, look, he's planning his funeral, will I speak at it? So, of course, I said, yes, I will. Just give me the date and I'll put it in my calendar.
Thank you very much. Well, welcome everyone and thank you for having us here today to come and talk to you about what happens with funerals and things like that. So, I'm Hayden Cotton, my wife Kylie has introduced us to. Go to the next slide.
Okay, so this, in our new logo, so as Stuart touched on, Hayden and I took over the business in 2020, and as part of our logo rebrand, we've got a dandelion. And this video just sort of tells a little bit of a story about how that dandelion folds into our story. So just to touch on, there's basically five stages to a dandelion's life, where it starts off as a little seedling and goes into the beautiful yellow flower before it, retreats back and then comes as a beautiful soft ball and the seeds of life take over again. So with Hayden, you know, as a fourth generation funeral director, we're in that new cycle of life in our business. Yeah, so I'll let you take it on.
Now, just the role of what funeral director, what we do. So funeral directors manage funeral arrangements for both burial and cremation services. We handle all matters related to death, including the preparation and care of our loved ones, and ensure accurate legal documentation is filed.
So our role starts when a customer engages our services because their loved one has passed, the end of their loved one's life is near, or they want certainty with their funeral wishes or prepayment plan. Generally, this contact is received by a phone call, but sometimes people like to call in our office because they're in the area, or they might message us through our website or social media channels because they're assessing options available. As a guide for our customers, we provide families with a plan, advising all funeral options available, including pricing. We coordinate funeral arrangements and record necessary information required by births, deaths and marriages, as well as making notes of any special requests. So when the funeral day has come, it is an important part of the grief process that the living take part in the funeral service or final farewell. Our goal is to provide a farewell that is personal, meaningful and professional. We know that we have achieved this when we are rewarded with a hug, handshake, sincere thanks and repeat business.
To give you some history, Robert James Cotton was the grandfather. He started in 1967. We're in a little wee building down Tremaine Avenue. He was the son of William Cotton, which is William Cotton Funeral Directors in Fielding. So that's where I get that extra generation. So I'm three generations under Robert J. Cotton, but the fourth having a great-grandfather, William Cotton. When Robert passed away in 1972, his eldest son Trevor, which is my father, took over the family business. And then myself, I've been in the business for nearly 30 years. And so at the start of COVID in 2020, Mum and Dad made the tough decision to retire. And that was when I took over the reins, joined by my wife, Kylie. I'm proud to be the fourth generation, only fourth generation funeral director in the Manawatu. Together, Kylie and I have a great team. Ross Carey and I are both qualified funeral directors and embalmers, with nearly 60 years of funeral directing experience between us. In training, we have Nate Mitchell and Laura Sweetman, and they will, you know, they're coming well to be great funeral directors as well. And we're also proud to have Brett Lacaine rejoin our team several months ago.
And then we have the heart of our business, our catering team, that nourishes our families and guests with great hospitality, food, tea and coffee, and friendly service. So what services do we offer? Well, first and foremost, we are members of the Funeral Directors Association of New Zealand. Being a member of the Funeral Directors Association is like having the gold tick of approval from the New Zealand Heart Foundation. This is because the funeral industry is not regulated, which means that you can leave here today and establish yourselves as a funeral director if you want. But being a member of the Funeral Directors Association means that there is a strict code of ethics, standards and experience required. We assist families in as much or as little service as they need, from funeral pre-planning, funeral pre-payments, funeral arrangements, transfers, care and preservation, legal administration, burial and cremation, and memorial services.
Now, what to do when a loved one passes away? First steps, at this point, our advice to families is to slow down. In most cases, there is no need to start making funeral arrangements straight away. When a family member passes away in hospital, a hospice or rest home, the next of kin will be informed and advised to contact the funeral home. Nursing staff will ensure a doctor completes the medical certificate, cause of death form. The staff may also be able to provide help in getting the loved one comfortable for viewing should the family want to spend some time with their loved one or to process and acknowledge their loss. This is why we recommend that when a loved one passes away, late at night or in the early hours of the morning, it can be nicer for their loved one to stay in the care of the rest home or hospice in their bed until the doctor has viewed in the morning. Should a family member die at home while under the care of a hospice or registered caregiver or practitioner, the on-call nursing staff must be contacted and will arrange for a doctor to visit and sign the required papers. In some cases, there will be police involvement. If the death is unexpected, sudden or accidental death at home, hospital, work or public place, the police must be contacted and the death will be investigated by the coroner. So we've got Coroner Scott here today.
Retired. I'm waiting for your step.
A thorough examination by postmortem will be required to ascertain the cause of death. When we receive the first call, a family member or representative, we request the following information: the caller's name and relationship to the deceased, contact phone number, the full name of the deceased, place of death, whether a doctor has signed the required paperwork, if the loved one's wish is to be buried or cremated, if the family intend to view their loved one, and if embalming is required, and there will be a time and place to meet with the funeral director to make funeral arrangements. Following the initial call, our team will organise the transfer of your loved one into our care and conduct any embalming or temporary preservation.
So families can prepare for the funeral arrangement by bringing along such items to the meeting, such as clothing that you want your loved one to wear. This includes anything from undergarments that we recommend, footwear and favourite accessories such as perfume, makeup, glasses. You know, it's a good chance to think about jewellery that will remain with the loved one or be returned to the family, such as wedding rings, necklaces, keepsakes, photographs. So these are essentially helpful for our team when preparing for the viewing, such as giving our team an idea of what the loved one looked like, how they wore their hair or their makeup, as well as photos that can be used for the service sheet and visual tributes as well. It is a great idea to bring along official documents such as birth certificates, marriage certificates. These have, you know, the correct spelling and details, including dates that are needed for the death certificate. It's a good chance to think about newspaper notices, whether these are required, whether you want them, and how soon. And, you know, our team can all guide you through, you know, a template if you need some assistance. And the next thing would be thinking about the name and contact details of the solicitor handling the estate if one is involved. So during the funeral arrangement meeting, there are many decisions to be made, which the funeral director will cover with you. This includes the suitable time, day and place of the funeral service, the funeral celebrant or minister options, catering, flowers, newspaper notices, tributes, super sheets, music, live stream. You know, there is also a legal formality to this meeting as well, such as the, you know, we have a funeral authority form that needs to be completed by the executor or person taking responsibility for the funeral account and decisions. You know, due to the emotional and vulnerable nature of our families in their time of loss, we have a legal obligation to ensure our families do not exceed their means. So we cover things like budget and financial assistance options that may be available. During the funeral arrangement, a cost estimate is prepared so that if the cost is too high, then ideas can be discussed to reduce costs. At the conclusion of the funeral arrangement, a minimum deposit of $2,000 is required to cover upfront costs.
There are many types of funeral services. Every family has different values and expectations determined by their cultural beliefs, traditions, and the deceased's wishes. Families should be encouraged to take this time to arrange a funeral that best reflects the person that has died. When to have the service. Timing is flexible. There are no laws governing when a funeral service must be held. It may be appropriate to have the service the following day or wait a week or so distant family and friends are able to attend from overseas. Where to have the service? Funeral venues are not limited to churches. Funeral services can be placed in club rooms, community halls, you know, your own private home, gardens. There are many different options out there. When thinking about a venue, it's important to factor in weather, especially for an outdoor event, accessibility of the venue, and whether there is room for seating and catering. Who to officiate the service? A minister, celebrant, family, family member or friend are all possibilities. There are no legal requirements for those who can officiate. However, consideration must be taken to the ability to perform on the day. You want someone that's got a good talking, you know, that's confident with their speaking. It is their responsibility to liaise with the family and to plan and coordinate the structure of the service. We have a range of funeral celebrants that our families can choose from. You know, we've got music, floral tributes, readings, photos, videos, speakers, props and caterings are all ways to reflect the values, qualities and connections of the person who has died. Direct cremational burial. For a direct cremational burial, the deceased is transferred from the place of death, placed in a basic cremation liner, and either cremated or buried without a service, keeping costs to a minimum. However, this does not preclude family or friends from gathering at a later date for a memorial. A direct cremation is the most cost-effective option for all services we offer.
So, are your funeral wishes known? A funeral service is optional. Often, the loved one will leave clear instructions that they do not want any form of ceremony, possibly concerned by costs. However, a funeral is an opportunity to gather, support, and acknowledge a life lived, and to begin to accept a shared loss. Next, we're going to play you a clip of a lady who shares her perspective of how her mother's wish not to have a funeral impacted on her grief journey.
You know, do you all know if you want to be buried or cremated? Burial, you can be interred at any public cemetery in New Zealand, space permitting. If you live outside of a cemetery district, then an out-of-district fee from the local council will be charged. For example, if you live in Fielding and were to be buried in the Calvin Grove Cemetery, this would incur an out-of-district fee. And vice versa, if you lived in Palmerston and you wanted to be buried in one of the cemeteries run by the Manawatu District Council. Burial is a more expensive option than cremation due to the cost of purchasing a plot, the interment fee, maintenance fees, and headstone or plaque on top of that. Cremation is a less expensive option than burial. The ashes are usually available within 3 days. Our funeral authority form asks the executor to stipulate who can collect those ashes. Another form of burial is you can be buried at sea. So New Zealand has specific designated areas for marine burials. Permission must be sought from the local regional authority. Transfer by either boat or helicopter makes this an expensive option. You can have your body donated to medical science, but this has to be planned, you know, well in advance of the death occurring, and strict criteria must be met for the body to be accepted by the New Zealand medical schools. And then these organ donations. Over 1 million New Zealanders have indicated on their driver's licence their wish to donate organs for the benefit of someone else. However, circumstances of death dictate the viability of healthy organs for transplant. Donations of tissue is more likely and equally beneficial to improving the quality of someone's life.
All right. So a common question that people want to know is how much does a funeral cost? Look, a funeral is much like building a house. It all depends on the size, the location, materials used. So what we've done to help our families is created several pricing options based on cremation and burial, that shows, first of all, you've got like your, you know, with the burial and cremation, there are mandatory costs, but there are also optional costs as well. So for cremation without a service, the price starts from $4,118. And then you've got, like, for the second package, is a cremation with a funeral service of 50 guests. And so you can see there that goes up to the $10,000 price mark by the time you, you know, include like a proper, you might want to have like a renew casket, there's flowers, that's embalming and preservation and care, the celebrant, catering, service sheets, etc. But what we can do is to reduce that price is, you know, if there were things in the optional that you did not want, then obviously that's going to reduce that price. And then I've done on 100 guests, just so you can see there's about just under $1,000 difference by the time you add people, just to show, yeah, the more people that you have, it can increase that cost. But in all cases, we work with our families to establish what their budgets and stuff are, and we work, you know, with that. And then we've got for burial. So burial with no service, you're looking at a cost from $7,500. So this is an extra $3,000 is what you're paying versus cremation. So as Hayden touched on, when you go to a burial, you are paying for a plot. There is an interment fee. This doesn't include the grave, you know, your headstone, but it does include a grave marker so that it marks out where the burial's taking place. And again, I've done options with 50 guests and 100. So you can see, generally, you know, the with a funeral service, you're looking between the 12 to, it'd be easily up to 15,000 for a burial service with up to 200 guests. But like I say, there are optional pricing in here, like, you know, prices that can be taken away that will reduce that cost if people wish. And it can be things that make the funeral more personal as well, like flowers from the, you know, the family home. You can bring, you know, you don't have to have catering in our lounge. It can, or you can have people bring a plate. There are many options.
Yeah, do you need to be embalmed? Yeah, embalming is not compulsory in New Zealand, except in the case of a body being repatriated to another country. In that case, it is a requirement made by the airlines. Although embalming is not compulsory, it is a highly recommended procedure in all cases to allow families that want to view their loved one before the time of the funeral. Embalming is a surgical procedure. Preservatives and additives are injected into the arterial system, which helps slow down the natural decomposition, deterioration process. A condition of a natural burial, however, is that the deceased is not to be embalmed, because they want everything to be natural. So mainly that requires a natural casket as well, eco casket. And in cases where someone's not embalmed, you know, we've got a cooler refrigeration to hold someone until that time of the service.
So who has the final say when making funeral arrangements? Well, making funeral arrangements is often an emotionally charged time, particularly if final wishes haven't been discussed before the passing of a loved one. Problems can arise when multiple family members provide conflicting wishes to the funeral home who need clarity on how to proceed. As outlined in the funeral planning process, our team must determine who has authority to make decisions for the person that has died, but at the same time we're working towards a timeline too. If there is a will, the executor usually has authority. If there is no will, or the will has not been found, the next of kin has the legal authority. The next of kin may nominate a family member to have authority on their behalf. In an ideal world, the deceased or the loved one would have communicated their wishes for the funeral to the executor separately from the guidance of their will, which is actually not binding. So, for example, the deceased may have a specific funeral plan, written a letter, or even just spoken about their wishes. While we often avoid the topic of death, providing these details is highly recommended, as it can help to minimise disputes later between family members. So the courts have determined there is a hierarchy, and perhaps I'll enclose a bit more documentation because I know it's not shown on the slide, but there is a hierarchy in who is, you know, determined by the courts as being the next of kin. It starts with the surviving spouse or civil union partner or de facto partner, children of the deceased, then it goes to the parents of the deceased, brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts and uncles. So when we look at who is legally responsible for funeral costs, first and foremost, the deceased estate must cover funeral costs. The deceased estate includes the deceased's assets and property. It must pay for burial, cremation, or other legal disposition costs and expenses such as catering at a funeral or similar service. Funeral costs can be paid from the deceased's bank account if sufficient funds are available, but obviously with banks, requirements must be met to access these funds, and this is an administrative task that the executor needs to handle. If the estate does not have enough funds to pay for the funeral and there are no family members who can contribute, well, depending on the circumstances, as I have touched on before, there may be financial assistance available through work and income. They can do a funeral grant, but this is, you know, a maximum of $2,455.37. The estate must essentially reimburse someone who pays for the funeral costs. So, for example, if the deceased bank account is difficult to access quickly, a family member might cover those funeral costs in the meantime so that arrangements can go ahead. They are then entitled to be reimbursed by the estate. But are wishes in a will legally binding? Well, no. The funeral wishes in a will are not legally binding. And this means that the executor is not legally bound to follow them and has the final say in the funeral arrangements. So make sure you choose your executors wisely. Ideally, these wishes may be able to be carried out, but other factors may come into play, such as cost, practicality, and the law. So I suppose if there's not enough money in the bank account to cover funeral costs, then a burial may not be the option. They may need to make that call at doing cremation. Or as we saw in COVID, families were overseas and had to wait to come out, so therefore burial might have not been as practical, but, you know, it depends on the circumstances.
So the difference between a funeral and a memorial. A funeral service is where the deceased is present at the service in a casket, and where a memorial service is a public, you know, basically the same as a service, but the casket's not present. So some families wish to have the ashes there, and some won't have anything there. Now, the thing to keep in mind is either cremation or burial. Like with a cremation, do you know what you want done with your ashes? Do you want them to be scattered, interred in a plot, be on your mantelpiece at home? With a burial, there's also things to think about is what location, what cemetery you want to be in. Are you going to be buried, you know, in the area where you were born? What depth you want the grave to be? There's the options for burials to have the two can go on the same plot. So you've got to know for the first one if you go down extra depth to make allowance for the second to go on top. And out at Calvin Grove, they've got different areas where you can be buried. So you've got, as I say, on the left is the area which is a decorated area, where you see you've got plants, seats, gardens and different things. Some look really nice, but some get a little bit untidy over time. So lately the cemetery have opened up in the last couple of years as a area where it's non-decorated. So it'll just be, as you see here, just plain grass lawn cemetery. So mainly when someone's a burial, new plot, we give those families those options what they like to go for.
All right, and finally, before we break for a cup of tea, so I've just got here, there's the difference between a funeral prepayment plan versus insurance. So we do have a funeral prepayment plan that we have that's run by our accountant, and it's managed by the ANZ, it's an ANZ trust management account. But you see here with the funeral trust is that there is... there's no age or medical criteria that, you know, funeral insurance will last for to qualify. So when people want to make a payment into our funeral prepayment plan, the amount is $10,000 before the government will count that as part of the residential care subsidy. It's a minimum deposit of the minimum amount to open up a funeral prepayment plan is $500. And the benefit is that the money that goes into that trust management account is held for your time, so that when your funeral has taken place, if there's any differences in cost, that is refunded back to the estate. So, for example, if you set aside $10,000 in a funeral prepayment plan and your funeral, you went for a direct cremation and that was $4,000, then essentially you've got just under $6,000 that would go back to the estate. Whereas funeral insurance, you'll know you can pay into a premium for many years. You might die of things that are not related to their criteria, and they certainly won't come back to you and say you've actually overpaid by this much. So those are things to think about in terms of your planning. Well, anyway, we're going to break now, I think, for a cup of tea,
yep.
And then we're going to come back and
questions.
Have questions.